Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
Welcome to Bassmaster Radio, presented by Phoenix Boats, the show for fishermen by fishermen. Today's show is brought to you by Rapella, 13 Fishing, Omnia Fishing, and Visit Anderson, South Carolina. Now, here's your host, lifetime bass member, Tom Abraham.
Welcome to this week's episode of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Sports Byline USA Network and other fine stations around the country. I am Tom Abraham, your guide for the next hour as we feature the Bassmaster Elite Series and those looking to get into that exclusive group through the St. Croix Bassmaster Open Series and the up-and-comers on the Strike King Bassmaster College Series and tens of thousands of Bass Nation anglers around the country competing on the local level, all with a chance to advance to the big leagues of professional fishing. The Bass Nation operates youth, high school, and college programs, including a junior Bassmaster Championship, high school national championship, a college national championship, and a college bracket event that leads to a Bassmaster Classic berth. The Bass Nation is at the grassroots of who we are. And for more information on how to become a member or to start a Bass Nation club, visit Bassmaster.com, click on the tournament tab, and select Nation. And to join the hundreds of thousands of members of Bass, just click on the membership tab. BASS members enjoy Bassmaster magazine and exclusive access at Bassmaster.com. Now, the best way to communicate with the show is to visit our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/BASS or on Twitter at Bassmaster and use the hashtag Bass Radio. You can also listen to all the shows at Bassmaster.com/radio or just hit the Anglers tab at Bassmaster.com and click on Bassmaster Radio. Our first cast segment of the show is brought to you by 13 Fishing, and we have a great deal for you right now. The Gerald Swindle Design Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at Rapala.com along with all their other great products. And for a limited time, you could get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20 only at Rapala.com. Now, I fish these rods and reels, and I fish all the Rapala products, and I could not be happier. Get 20% off with the code BASSRADIO20 on everything at Rapala.com. Well, the boys are at Lake Okeechobee this weekend, but today I have our first top three show of the season coming off the FXR Pro Fish Bassmaster Elite. So sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy this week's edition of Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Rapala is one of the most respected names in all of the fishing industry. The finest balsa wood baits with the best action, the DT series, the Brat Square Bills, and the Shad Wrap are all legendary. But did you know that Rapala also makes high-quality rain gear and every kind of fishing accessory you can imagine? Plus, under the Rapala family of brands, you'll find VMC hooks and terminal tackle, Suffix mono, fluoro, and braided lines, Terminator spinner baits, jigs, and frogs, plus the Storm Arashi line of baits. Learn more at Rapala.com. That's Rapala.com, and start catching more fish.
Hey gang, Tom Abraham here for my friends at 13 Fishing. I can't tell you how excited I was to learn that two-time Bassmaster Angler of the Year, Gerald Swindle, had teamed up with the crew at 13 Fishing to build the ultimate rod and reel series that combines quality with a price point that works for all. And right now we have a tremendous deal for you. The new Meta Series Rods and Inception G2 Reels are available at 13fishing.com. And for a limited time, you can get 20% off your entire order by using the discount code BASSRADIO20. That's BASSRADIO20 only at 13fishing.com.
At Phoenix Boats, everyone has a passion for bass fishing. From the founder and Elite Series pro Gary Klaus, down to the guy who affixes the final decal. Gary says, this passion has shaped our lives and it has brought about many of the fishing features that you see on the Phoenix today. Our goal is to make every boat that goes out the door the best fishing platform it can be in both design and construction for our customers. When I toured the plant, it was clear that Phoenix uses only the highest quality materials and that the craftsmanship was second to none. I'm Tom Abraham, and I too run a Phoenix boat and am extremely proud to carry the Phoenix logo on my gear. I've known Gary Klaus since he started the company, and what he, Teresa Johnson, and the rest of the team at Phoenix Boats have created is truly remarkable. The highest quality boats, built by anglers, for anglers. This isn't just a saying, it's a passion at Phoenix. View the entire lineup at phoenixboats.com and get started on yours today. Take it from me, it's time to experience the Phoenix difference.
There's so much to do, see, and experience in Anderson, South Carolina. Plan your next outdoor adventure with a visit to Lake Hartwell, boating, fishing, hike and bike the nearby trails, experience some history, and after, enjoy the numerous restaurants, shops, and experiences Anderson has to offer. Visit Green Pond Landing right there on Lake Hartwell, perfect launch point for pleasure boating, fishing, kayaking, or just a nice walk beside the water. Come see why Anderson is called South Carolina's Bright Spot. Check it out at visitanderson.com. That's visitanderson.com.
Get more out of your BASS membership. The new members-only section of Bassmaster.com gives exclusive how-to tips from the world's best bass anglers, tournament video archives from past decades, an historic library of features from Bassmaster magazine, and members-only brand discounts to save you money. Already a member? Current members get all this by logging in at Bassmaster.com/membership. Not a member? Don't miss out. Scan the QR code and join today. And we'll even throw in some free gifts.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And as we promised, our first top three show of the year coming off of a scintillating tournament there at the St. John's River. Shane LaHue came in third place and gave us some real excitement on Championship Sunday as well. He was very, very consistent throughout this tournament. He joins us now on the VMC Hook. Shane, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm good, Tom. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's a good way to get the season started with a top 10. And, of course, you finished with a top 10. It was a very steady year for you, if not spectacular last year. You had a top 10 at the Classic, and then you had a top 10, you know, at the end at the St. Lawrence River. But the rest of it was just kind of middle of the pack and so on. So it's kind of nice to get a third right off the bat here to start the new year. It's always nice when you're not, you know, chasing points right from the beginning.
Yeah, and typically I am, especially when we start out at the St. John's. It's been somewhat of a thorn in my side over the years. But, last year was, like you said, two highs and a lot of lows. Honestly, I felt like I fished really poorly last year, and for me to make the Classic last year felt like a win, because I did not fish my best whatsoever.
Yeah, but you were steady, you know. You didn't bomb. Yeah. You were, you know, just kind of making cuts and things like that, so it wasn't terrible. But boy, you finished strong to make the Classic. That's a good feeling, though, isn't it? You end up 38th in the points, but you know, if you don't have that sixth place finish at the St. Lawrence River, that ain't happening, right?
Correct. Yeah. And, I went and took a chance and went to the lake like I like to do. I mean, normally when we go there anymore, if the lake's in play, that's where I'm going, no yeah. matter the weather. And, I knew I had the top 10 to make the Classic, so, or at least to have a chance. And that did feel good. So maybe that momentum's carrying into this year.
Well, you did it, this year to get things started. Very steady, 18-4, 17-3, 17-14, and then the 20-pound bag, the biggest bag on Championship Sunday. So it was a very steady deal for you. We'll get to the 7-pounder in a minute. But, you know, for the most part, you know, this was steady. Everybody was in these canals and shallow water areas, but you were doing it old school. You had a Berkeley Stunner jerkbait on, and you were flipping as well. So, you know, it was kind of old school fishing and a very consistent 4 days for you.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of old school, but also kind of new school. I mean, the live scoped helped tremendously. There was a lot of fry garters that guys were overlooking, that I got pretty lucky to find in practice. I just happened to go on one of those canals and saw a bunch of them. They were really hard to get to bite, though.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my worries, you know, going into the tournament. I actually fished two or three places before I ever made it down there. I didn't know it was going to be that good of a deal. And then when I got down there, first canal I went in, on the first day I caught 17 pounds in probably 45 minutes.
Mm.
And I just, but a lot of them took time to catch, like, you know, repetitive, got to throw at them 20, 30 times, so.
Now, were these deep water canals, you know, or, I know there's a lot of real shallow water there, but,
yeah,
you know, were these deeper water in the middle type canals where, you know, they were pulling up but still had that deep water refuge to get to?
Yeah, these were, you know, a lot of the canals, like you said, are super shallow there on the St. John's. They're anywhere from, you know, one foot to 3 foot of water. These mm-hmm. were, some of them were 10, 11 feet deep.
Yeah. Talk about using the scope in that kind of scenario, because, you know, we don't think of that, obviously, when you're that close to shore as well, when you're in a narrow canal like that and you're scoping, and you could just see on the scope like it shoots straight up, you know, right to the bank. I don't know if you still have it on 70 feet or if you dial it back to 30 feet out or so, but just talk about scoping in those scenarios, because, you know, a lot of people worry about whether or not the pinging is going to affect the fish and all of these other things, you know, because we usually think of it as an offshore type of technique.
Yeah, and I did back it up a little bit. So typically I run mine like for open water situations or, you know, just fishing structure and things like that. I typically run it on 100 feet, so I actually backed it off to 60 to 70 feet. Mm-hmm. And it, like I said, you know, you're fishing close to the fish, which for me, I think it was in my head. I was like, you know, that's probably why a lot of them aren't biting, which probably mm-hmm. is true. And so many of our guys, and then, you know, some local guys just out there enjoying the body of water, you know, they're running over those fish. So they're getting spooked by trolling motors, big motors, people going in and out of canals to their docks and things like that. But, I mean, for the scoping, it did help to bring back that range, for sure. But a lot of them, you know, those deeper fish, they were a little more adapt to bite, I think, because they weren't getting trolled over, you know, in the 3 to 4 foot of water canals
now
as much as those fish that were deeper.
Yeah, Shane LeHue with us, coming off his third place finish, and he fished his way into third place with the 20 pound bag. I would imagine when you think back about this tournament, I mean, is there, do you feel like you maximized your bite? I mean, is there any, you know, a lot of times guys will look at it and say, oh, dang, if I had just done this or that, you know, I think I win it. But you were so consistent. You didn't have a bad day. You didn't have a 28-pound day. Do you feel like you got everything that you could get out of what your pattern was?
I do. I mean, now looking back on it, like, and honestly, I don't even want to go down that road. No, I think.
Well, it was only 5 ounces. You know, I mean, you couldn't find another 5 ounces out there somewhere.
Yeah. I was going to say, I wish I wouldn't have gone in the river and swam a jig trying to catch big ones, mm-hmm. you know, but it is what it is. So the first 3 days, I never weighed in a fish under 3 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
The last day of the tournament, I weighed in 2 under 3 pounds. And they were just getting really, really, really hard to catch. So there was, and I would start in a new canal every day. I wasn't just, you know, recycling the same water. The canal I went in the last day, I mean, man, I saw probably 70 plus fry garters in that canal, and I caught 5.
Mm.
And it took me 3 hours to catch those 5. So they had just gotten tough to catch. So no, I don't have any regrets. I mean, I didn't think I had a chance really going into that fourth day, because Bill had such a lead.
Yeah, Bill let you all back in though, a little bit with that 10-pound bag he had. But, you know, and you say, you know, I didn't, you know, that's, I guess, the way we think as fishermen. Yeah, you know, you say, well, I didn't have one under 3 pounds, but you didn't have any 7-pounders either. So kind of,
exactly.
Right, kind of balanced out, you know, with
kind of what I was getting at.
Yeah, with that 7 on the last day. Now, that was exciting. You know, that's a sight fish there. You were concerned that, you know, had to make sure that you had it hooked in the mouth, which was, I mean, dead top center. I mean, it was bang. It was perfect.
Oh, yeah, it was pinned.
It was pinned. It was perfect there with your creature bait. And but I gotta tell you, man, the best part of that is you standing on the trolling motor, because look, me at my age and my weight, you know, I'm closer to Bill Owen size than I am to Shane LeHue size. I ain't standing on no trolling motor. I mean, how you stood on that trolling motor and set the hook on a 7-pounder while you're standing on a balance beam like that was pretty impressive, young man.
Well, I honestly, I'm not that young anymore. I'm 37.
That's young.
But here's my problem. My issue is, you know, I'm fishing against a bunch of sight fishermen that are 6 foot tall.
Yeah.
Well, I'm 5'9" on a good day. And that fish was hard to see, and I always try to stay back away from the fish as far as I can. And the bed was a little bit deeper, so even a fish that size, you know, she was easier to see. The male was really hard to see. And for reference, I caught him 3 floats later, and he was a 3-pounder, and he was really, really hard to see. So for her being that big, you know, I couldn't believe how quickly she bit, to be honest. It was just and that's, again, like we just alluded to, I didn't have any 7-pound bites, and on a day when I needed it, I got it. So
yeah, you got it, and it's a great start to the season for sure, and get you going in the right direction. Now, by the time people are listening to this, hopefully you're still fishing on the weekend at Okeechobee, and I know they had some weather that moved in there earlier in the week, but I'm sure that this is going to work out good for you, and you got to be excited about making the Carolina run as well. By the way, this Pascoteque, you ever been there?
I have never been there.
Okay.
No, unfortunately, I have not.
So just because it says North Carolina next to your name doesn't mean that it's that this is a home body of water for you, right?
Nope, I've never seen it. I've talked to buddies in the past about it. You know, obviously, with our no information stuff.
Yeah, right.
We can't talk to anybody. But like in the past, you know, tournaments have been brought up over the years. There's some really big fish in there. Yeah. I've never talked to anybody about, like, how they've caught them or, you know, what to do or even which river system. But just from, like, hearing some of the weights that get caught out there, you know, there's some upper 20-pound bags that regular, you know, get caught.
Yeah.
About every tournament. So
that's going to be exciting for sure. Shane Liuhu has been our guest. Shane, congrats on a good start. Top three come on after every elite event, so hopefully we'll be talking to you again.
That sounds good. I appreciate it, Tom.
All right, man. Thank you. Shane Liuhu. All right, we get a break in here. When we come back, Jay Shakurik, he was second in this deal by 1 ounce from Liuhu. We'll talk to him next right here on Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
At Phoenix Boats, everyone has a passion for bass fishing. From the founder and Elite Series pro Gary Klaus, down to the guy who affixes the final decal. Gary says, this passion has shaped our lives and it has brought about many of the fishing features that you see on the Phoenix today. Our goal is to make every boat that goes out the door the best fishing platform it can be in both design and construction for our customers. When I toured the plant, it was clear that Phoenix uses only the highest quality materials and that the craftsmanship was second to none. I'm Tom Abraham, and I too run a Phoenix boat and am extremely proud to carry the Phoenix logo on my gear. I've known Gary Klaus since he started the company, and what he, Teresa Johnson, and the rest of the team at Phoenix Boats have created is truly remarkable. The highest quality boats, built by anglers, for anglers. This isn't just a saying, it's a passion at Phoenix. View the entire lineup at phoenixboats.com and get started on yours today. Take it from me, it's time to experience the Phoenix difference.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And look, this one was a horse race. You know, I told you that back in the open. I mean, this was incredible how tight things were here. And we just talked to Shane LaHue. He was at 73.9. 1 ounce more than him was Jay Shakurit, who had 73.10. And, of course, Bill Lowen won it with 73.14. I mean, this was absolutely nuts. But Jay Shakurik did lead this thing on the first day last year, and he joins us, or last week, and he joins us now on the VMC hotline. And Jay, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. You know, last year you started out at the St. John's. You did not have a great tournament there from the St. John's, and then you took off and had a bunch of top 10 finishes, including in an open. But it must feel pretty good to get out of the St. John's and get out of there with a second, even though you were leading at day one. Still a really good tournament to come within 4 ounces of hoisting another blue trophy.
Yeah, it was compared to the last time I was at the St. John's, it was a lot different turn of events. I felt like, you know, I just had areas that I really just felt comfortable fishing, and, you know, different time of the year, more translated around the spawn time of the year. And I've had more experience there now. You know, that was my third time. So, you know, I picked a couple areas that I thought were going to be productive, and they were, and I milked them for all they were worth.
Well, speaking of that, day one, 24-15, and you were in the Salt Springs most of the time. Did you go back there at the beginning of day two and then just decide, no, I got to abandon this, I'm going to hit the canals, or what created that decision? Because, I mean, you had 12-12 day two. It must have felt like you got skunked after having 24-15 on day one, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. You know, day number one, I couldn't do anything wrong. You know, I caught two really big fish that day, and I obviously started where I caught that big bag day one, and things just were not happening. I knew I had to pull the plug on it right away. I gave it a little time. You know, I did catch one okay fish in there where I caught my big bag, but that's when I decided to move to the canals, just because, you know, like I said, it just wasn't happening. That cold front that night just shut them right down. And, you know, was obviously able to salvage my day with the 12-pound bag, which I was actually really happy with, believe it or not. It was just a trying day for me. You know, it was hard to move around. I spent most of my day driving around rather than keeping my line in the water was the biggest problem. So with that being said, you know, just making those key adjustments throughout the event were key to where I ended up at the end.
Yeah, and those were good adjustments that you made, and then on day four you kind of went back there, which I thought was interesting, you know, looking for that big fish, and you did get one big one and upgrade nicely. Does it just talk a little bit about the battle that's going on in your own brain when you've got those two different things going on, and how many times you're thinking, man, do I need to go back there where that 25-pound bag was, and then ultimately you do, you get the big fish on Sunday. And are you playing with it in your mind thinking maybe I should have came here earlier?
Yeah, I mean, I had a really good bag early on that day number four. You know, I had 17 or 18 pounds in the box, and I'm like, man, I'm really just torn. You know, I could stay where I was fishing in the canals, but I knew I probably didn't have a chance to catch that, you know, 6 to 8 pounder in there. So I was like, man, do I sit in these canals and maybe upgrade, you know, a half a pound, something like that? Mm-hmm. And at the time I'm like, you know, honestly, a half pound, I'm like, that's not going to matter. Like, what is that going to matter? You know, like these guys are beating me by, yeah, I didn't know what Bill's lead was at the time, but I knew it was pretty substantial. And, you know, that was when in the back of my mind, I'm like, I can go to the Springs. It's going to be calm. It's going to be sunny. I'm going to be able to see, you know, and see what's going on. And I did end up getting a really nice fish in there right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have one other one that I really did think I was going to catch. And I didn't end up catching her. You know, she was about 6 or 7 pounds, paired up with about a 2.5 pound male. And ultimately I accidentally end up catching that male off that bed, and she never came back after that. It was kind of a, you know, a situation where I definitely would have liked to have that opportunity back. But at the same time, I don't really have any regrets. You know, 9 times out of 10, if you catch the male off the bed and you put it back, you know, that male is going to go back on the bed, and that female, if it's really locked on, it'll come back and, you know, reunite with the male. And for whatever reason, that female, maybe she had just pulled up. I really don't know. But that's definitely one that's going to haunt me for a little while there.
Yeah, especially the way it turned out. Jay Shakurit with us coming off second play finish. So you're 19-5, but, you know, you were in third place going into Championship Sunday. Lowen is 5 pounds out in front of everybody, and it seems like he's on a pretty steady pattern, you know, with his big fish coming in later in the day. When you get in, take me to the back, you know, when you're in the tanks and you're sitting there and you're looking at it, and Lowen's got 10-4, and you're like, you have almost twice as much as he's got. Are you thinking, you know what, maybe I got him? I mean, was it really right to the last second where you saw he gets you by 4 ounces there? Are you thinking that, you know what, I might have gotten him here?
Yeah, I mean, there was thoughts that crossed my mind that I thought I might win, especially when I took the lead from Shane, you know, by 1 ounce. I mean, my gosh. When that happened, I thought I had a really good shot, because, you know, obviously we all talk in the tanks and whatnot, you know, what we got. You know, Bill was saying he was hoping he had 10 pounds, or he'd be lucky he had 10 pounds. So in the back of my mind, I'm like, does he have 9.15? Does he have, you know, 9.5, 10.5? Yeah, and then when I saw it, we kind of knew, you know, Bill had what he had. But at the same time, I mean, you never know. When it comes down to ounces, it's anybody's game.
Well, he put that first one in on Bass Track as 8 ounces. I mean, he caught a little rat. You know, he puts it in as 8 ounces.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty hard to have an 8 ounce bass. I mean, let's be honest, even at 12. I mean, come on, it was at least 12 ounces. I mean, it couldn't have been 8 ounces. Right. But so I think that may have thrown his estimation, you know, off a little bit, but still a great tournament for you. And, you know, and it sets you up for this season so well. Talk about throwing that jerkbait in those canals. You know, you're making short casts and you're still looking at them, right? You're still using your forward-facing sonar. It isn't like, you know, using it out in open water. But talk a little bit about using that forward-facing sonar in tight confines like that and what you were looking at when you were throwing your jerkbait.
Yeah, that was a super unique deal. I've never, in my experience, had to incorporate like very precise casting. It was almost like I was skipping docks with a bait caster, but I was using a treble hooked bait. So you had to be even more precise to, you know, slide a bait underneath whether it was a dock or in behind a tree. There are so many little variables in those canals. I mean, very short casts, like you said. It was a really unique deal to, you know, have to be accurate with your cast and, you know, be able to slide that bait in there. But at the same time, you know what you're looking at on your forward-facing sonar as well. It was a pretty neat deal, something that I would have never, and I've never have done, you know, anywhere else around the country. I feel like the St. John's just really set up well for that, just because those fish, I mean, they don't have a lot of places to go ever since the eelgrass died. Mm-hmm. And those canals are, you know, just a place that, it's like a sanctuary for them. I mean, a lot of those canals are, you know, 5 to 15 feet deep. And there's so much wood in there and structure and bait and, you know, panfish, stuff like that. And how I was catching those fish, you know, a lot of those fish were fry garters. You know, they're guarding their fry after they had spawned. The week prior to us getting to the St. John's, the water was very warm. We had a really warm week there. Those fish had a great spawn that week before we were there. And then ultimately when our tournament came around, it got pretty cold. A lot of those fish that were on the beds pulled off, you know, those eggs had, and those fry were moving around, and those nice, you know, good sized males were up there guarding their fry in those canals. So that was just a pretty neat deal to catch those bass that way.
How does it look on the forward facing, a ball of fry versus a ball of bait? You know, when we see any open water, yeah, you see a bait ball. Does it look similar?
Yeah, it's similar. It's pretty similar. It's just very small. It almost looks like a cloud of pixie dust.
And you could see the male. You could see the male right around that pile of fry, if you will. Yep. Or is it like right in there?
Yeah, you would. Some of them would sit near the surface. Some of them would sit middle of the water column. Some of them would sit towards the bottom. That was when you had to be really precise, with your presentation as well. You'd want a jerk bait that would either sink a little bit or float a little bit. I'd mix that up between two jerk baits. Mm-hmm. And catching those fish, in my personal opinion, is probably one of the hardest things to do. They're just, for whatever reason, they don't want to actually bite anything. Mm-hmm. They just want to chase stuff off. Whereas like a bedfish, you could actually get that fish to bite something because it wants to move it off of its bed rather than when it's guarding fry. It has no intentions of opening up its mouth. So that's when the jerkbait came into play, just because it got that reaction strike that you wouldn't normally get if you just threw like a wacky worm in there or something like that. Those fish just... they were so non-responsive to that. They'd come up and look at it, but they had no intentions of opening up their mouth.
Well, they certainly opened their mouth enough for you to come in second place. 4 ounces. Don't think about the 4 ounces, though. Think about how good it was, that you moved into second, got all those points and a nice check. But don't think about the 4 ounces. You'll drive yourself nuts if you think about that too much, that's for sure. Jay Shakurit has been our guest. Jay, we appreciate you. Top three, come on, after every elite event and the classic. So hopefully we'll be talking to you again this year.
Hope so. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Thank you. And it's Jay Shakurit. Excellent, excellent fisherman. A lot of people have him picked to win the AOI this year. No pressure, but they do. All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, the champ is up next in the Rapala Winner's Circle. Bill Lowen, right here on Phoenix Post Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with a sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
Now it's Staples. Find hot deals on HP, America's most trusted printer brand. Whether you need to print invoices or eye-catching presentations, HP delivers with exceptional speed, reliability, and vibrant color. And with HP, replenishing ink is simple. Find HP ink cartridges in-store at Staples or subscribe to HP Instant Ink and never worry about running out. And right now with home and office hot deals at Staples, you can save up to $150 on select HP printers through February 1st.
Get more out of your BASS membership. The new members-only section of Bassmaster.com gives exclusive how-to tips from the world's best bass anglers, tournament video archives from past decades, an historic library of features from Bassmaster magazine, and members-only brand discounts to save you money. Already a member? Current members get all this by logging in at Bassmaster.com/membership. Not a member? Don't miss out. Scan the QR code and join today. And we'll even throw in some free gifts.
Rapala is one of the most respected names in all of the fishing industry. The finest balsa wood baits with the best action, the DT series, the Brat Squarebills, and the Shadrap are all legendary. But did you know that Rapala also makes high-quality rain gear and every kind of fishing accessory you can imagine? Plus, under the Rapala family of brands, you'll find VMC hooks and terminal tackle, Suffix mono, fluoro, and braided lines, Terminator spinnerbaits, jigs, and frogs, plus the Storm Arashi line of baits. Learn more at Rapala.com. That's Rapala.com, and start catching more fish.
See and experience in Anderson, South Carolina. Plan your next outdoor adventure with a visit to Lake Hartwell. Boating, fishing, hike and bike the nearby trails. Experience some history. And after, enjoy the numerous restaurants, shops, and experiences Anderson has to offer. Visit Green Pond Landing right there on Lake Hartwell. Perfect launch point for pleasure boating, fishing, kayaking, or just a nice walk beside the water. Come see why Anderson is called South Carolina's Bright Spot. Check it out at visitanderson.com. That's visitanderson.com.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. Today, you're going to pay down your credit card bill. But you decide when you'll pay it. Before the due date, so those interest charges don't get you. But you decide if you pay it in full. But you definitely should, because, again, interest charges. With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. Now, here's your host, Tom Abraham.
And welcome back, Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio. And, you know, it was only a couple of 3 weeks ago, maybe, I guess it was, something like that, when we had Bill Lowen on the show, because he is one of the originals. He is one of those guys that were featuring in the series, one of the nine current elites that were there day one at Amistad. And, you know, we talked about the fact that he had a very disappointing season last year. I mean, you know, it is what it is. And yet he comes back and bounces back with a huge victory here using a black and blue jig and then another black and blue jig. We'll talk about that as well, as Dollar Bill joins us now on the VMC hook. Bill, welcome back to the show. I didn't think we'd be speaking and talking again this early, but dang, man, you go out there and get the win and you're back in the Rapala winner's circle.
Oh, it's thanks for having me, and yeah, it feels really good to be there.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, especially to coming off of last season, because really, I think last year, if memory serves, the only Saturday cut you made was at the St. John's, right? I mean, it was that kind of a year for you.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that was I think you finished 36th or so there out of Palatka, and it was a little different tournament because Rodman was open and a bunch of guys had gone that way. So obviously you had a little bit of a good feeling about this, but just talk about the decision to go into that creek that you went into and the fact that you were hell-bent on staying in that creek and you were going to get it done in there no matter what.
Well, you know, typically for me, when we go to the St. John's River, I typically always go north. I think last year when we were there, matter of fact, I know last year when we were there, I fished a creek that was straight across from it. Mm-hmm. I believe I had a camera in the boat one day while all that was going on. But, yeah, I just like going north because it sets up to me like basically where I grew up on the Ohio River. There's a lot of hard cover. There's a lot of laydowns. There's a lot of wood. There is some grass, you know, some mats that float around and some lily pads, but for the most part, it's hard cover. And, you know, my thought was if I concentrated on those deeper creeks that were up north, that them fish maybe wouldn't get, affected by the cold front as much as, let's say, some fish that were maybe shallower. And, kind of figured that those fish would also be pre-spawn as well. And, yeah, that's kind of my game plan. You know, the first day, I practiced in the springs and kind of down around the Dunn's Creek area, and then just gradually started working my way north.
Well, and Deep Creek is where you were at, and you know, this thing is aptly named 20-foot deep. I don't think the Ohio River has many 25-pound bags in it, though. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, like you had that.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Maybe in a 3-day tournament, you might have 25 pounds there, but I'm not sure. But certainly you got it done on the second day with 24-4 was one big fish after another. It was magical what you were doing there. And, you know, we talked to Jay Shakur and Shane LaHue, the second and third place finishers already for the show. And they both were in canals predominantly using their forward-facing sonar, even though they were in canals that were, you know, seemed like 30 feet wide at the most. You were, you know, working the bank, swimming a jig and pitching a jig. Did you have the forward-facing on? Were you looking under those mats with the forward-facing, or did you have that thing off most of the time?
So I had my forward-facing sonar on. And here's basically what I was using my MegaLive 2 for. It was not to look at fish or find fish. So the way that that deal sets up in there, there's some deep places that swing up against the bank. And mm-hmm. then there's a, basically, I'm going to call it a lip, where 2 foot of water comes out and basically drops off. And there was laydowns and stumps and hard cover on that lip as well. So what I was using my sonar or my forward-facing sonar for was to basically show me where that deep water would swing up against the bank and show me where that drop off was so I could keep the boat off of it. Cause I actually caught some key fish by swimming that jig over those pieces of structure that were sitting on the lip and then killing it or fluttering it down. So I wasn't using my forward-facing sonar to actually throw at fish or target fish, but I was using it to obviously show me where the deeper water was and where the drop-off was.
And when you were swimming the jig, I noticed you were swimming it really slow, but you weren't yo-yoing it, it didn't look like. It looked like you weren't, you know, giving it a ton of action that way. You were just slow, almost slow rolling it, to use a spinnerbait term, when you were bringing it back. Am I right there, or were you shaking it some?
No, absolutely. If I was to shake it, you know, do the Alabama shake like we talk about all the time,
yeah,
I wouldn't get a bite, you know. And I
really
was, what basically what it reminded me of was slow or bulging a single Colorado blade spinnerbait, what it reminded me of. I had to wind it as slow as I possibly could, and that's why I selected using that Zoom super speed crawl, because of the water resistance that it has and the big legs that are on it allowed me to fish it extremely slow.
So you had the swim jig going, you had the pitching jig going as well, which was also black and blue, old school, love that, with a different Zoom super chunk on it, I believe, on that one. The skirts look the same, though. Was it the same material that he's used? I know you explained how you make these things, you know, that this comes out of lureparts.com, but the skirts seemed like they were the same material. Is that right?
Yes, exact same color. You know, they're in my signature series line from Lure Parts, and the color was called Blue Crawl. Actually, skirt already comes built, so you don't have to build it. Mm. The beauty of the stuff from Lure Parts is that they come three to a pack. So if you buy three of my flipping heads or three of my skirts, they come in three. So basically you're getting three jigs for the price of one.
So this has got to be extremely satisfying to you. I mean, you look at the list of guys that have won multiple blue trophies. It's not a massive list. I mean, there are guys, I mean, you know, we all love Gerald Swindle. I mean, the guy's got two AOYs, still hasn't lifted a blue trophy. I mean, what you have been able to do to get these two wins over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years in your career, it's got to be very, very satisfying, and especially to do it in this day and age where everything is skewed so young with these guys, you know, doing so much of their damage with the electronics.
Yeah, you know, look, let's face it, there's no doubt about it that electronics and forward-facing sonar is a craze. You know what I mean? And it's like the greatest technology that we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, it's I don't think we're ever going to see the traditional style fishing go away.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly didn't go away on over the weekend for you as you continue to swim that jig and flip a jig as well. And that was really exciting to see old school kind of fishing get it done there. Bill Lowen with us here coming off of his victory at the St. John's. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Sunday because it got hairy. I mean, it got hairy there for a minute on Sunday. Now, you put that first one in as 8 ounces. They were saying 8 ounces. There's no 8-ounce bass that's 12 inches long. I mean, come on. That had to be 12 ounces anyway. It wasn't really 8 ounces. It was funny. We were just talking to Jay Shakurit, and he's like, I don't know. You know, Lowen didn't know when we were at the tanks. He really didn't know what he had. He thought he might have had 10 pounds. And I'm like, well, he put one in as 8 ounces, and I don't think it was that little. But, man, in the end, every ounce counted, especially, you know, when you lost those ones that you couldn't fill out that that five-fish limit.
It's very rarely do you win an event with only four fish. So, good Lord was definitely looking out for me.
What did it – when you were at the tank, did you feel like – and when you were coming in with 10.5 pounds, did you feel like it had gotten away? Or did you still feel like, because you had that five-pound lead, there's only 10 guys out there, 9 other guys out there, that you still felt like you were in pretty good shape?
Honestly, I felt like I had let another one slip away.
Mm.
It was a long, long ride back. You know, it wasn't but 12 miles. So it was one of them deals where it was pretty gut-wrenching. You know, to think, because you don't get an opportunity like that very often, to know that maybe we might have let another one slip away.
Did you ever think about getting out of there, as tough as it was that last day, or did you just keep thinking that they'll come to me, this tide's going to turn around? Because it kept getting later and later, obviously, when the tide would drop. You know, how much is your thought process that, you know what, I got to get out of here and try something else?
Actually had two other creeks that I've been saving all week that had some good fish in them. So I actually ran to those on the fourth day morning, and went to try to start in those, and the water temperature had dropped to 54 degrees in there. So after I spent about 30 minutes in each one, I was like, you know what, this isn't going to work. And so I just ran back to my primary deal and finished the tournament out in there.
Talk about when you make a decision to go from the swim jig to the pitching jig, and how you were fishing that. You know, what was it that would make you change up? Even though, because these there are a slightly different profile, obviously, but they were the same color pattern, a little bit different, you know, in the trailer. But just talk about that decision making process.
You know, so the swim jig was the predominant deal. You know, so I could run down the bank and swim that jig down the grass, little corners, little drains, lay downs and things like that. But there was also deep water right up against the bank in there, where it would get a little deeper right against the bank. And some of those bases of those trees in that creek had, 8 to 10 foot of water on them. Mm-hmm. So that's when I'd pick that pitching jig up and pitch it to the base of those trees. But the key with that was, is they wouldn't need it on the bottom. I never had a bite off the bottom with that jig. And they actually wanted it swam as well, but I was swimming it down deeper in the water column, you know, down 4 or 6 foot deep. Mm-hmm. So that was the deal when I used that pitching jig. When I got to cover, that was really deep.
Talk to us about your setup for the swim jig. We all love swimming a jig, you know, and it's great to see a guy get a win like that. But I know you were throwing braid because we were hearing that beautiful music every time you slammed a hook on it in the braid. But what weight braid do you use? And, you know, do you look for a rod that's got a little tip to it, you know, because of the fact that you're using the braid?
You know, so the deal for me this week was the basically I keep saying I had a 1-2 punch, you know, with the swim jig and the flipping jig, you know, to catch the fish that I was catching in that creek. And my setup for my swim jig is pretty much the same all the time. I'm using a 7'6" medium heavy fast action arc rod and Invoker Pro. I'm using a Gravity 7 arc reel in a high speed 7.1 gear ratio. And the reason I like that high speed reel is because a lot of the swim jig bites are fast and violent. And I feel like if you don't have that high-speed reel, sometimes they'll get you out of position. Mm-hmm. Line for me to swim that jig is always 30-pound Tactex Seaguar braid. Mm. And I know a lot of guys look at me like I'm crazy when I say 30-pound braid, but knock on wood, I've never been broke off. But my theory on that is I feel like I get more action with 30-pound braid than I would, let's say, 50 or 65. I always say when I got it on that heavier braid, I feel like I got it on a jump rope. I always swim my jig on 30-pound braid, and like I said, it's worked for me for years. That's the way I like to do it.
I agree with you 100%, by the way, on the 30-pound braid. I run only 30-pound braid on a swim jig myself, and I have a tendency, and I don't know if it's just an aesthetic thing, but I use white braid when I'm using a white jig, and I use green braid, you know, for my dark jigs, and it's just something that I like to do with it. But I agree with you. You feel like you're using rope otherwise, and, you know, I think it works great.
Yeah, just, you know, I get more action. It's easier to cast. It's easier to handle. And so on my flipping jig, I'm using a 7'6" Invoker Limited rod from Arc, and it's a heavy action flipping rod. Same Gravity 7 reel, high speed, and I'm flipping with 22-pound Tatsu fluorocarbon. So typically for me, if I'm flipping or pitching, especially a jig, I'm using a 22-pound Tatsu.
All right, man, good stuff. Dollar Bill Owen has been our guest. He got the victory at the St. John's. And, you know, Bill, top three come on after every elite event. So hopefully we'll be talking again, man. Who knows, maybe it'll be another couple of weeks before we talk.
Well, hey, look, I'm going to do my best to make sure that we talk again.
There you go, man. I appreciate you. Bill Lowen, what a great guy. And I'm so happy for him to get the win. And we'll see where it goes from here, that's for sure. All right, we'll get a break in here. When we come back, we'll wrap it up next. This is Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
At Phoenix Boats, everyone has a passion for bass fishing. From the founder and Elite Series pro Gary Klaus, down to the guy who affixes the final decal. Gary says, this passion has shaped our lives and it has brought about many of the fishing features that you see on the Phoenix today. Our goal is to make every boat that goes out the door the best fishing platform it can be in both design and construction for our customers. When I toured the plant, it was clear that Phoenix uses only the highest quality materials and that the craftsmanship was second to none. I'm Tom Abraham, and I too run a Phoenix boat and am extremely proud to carry the Phoenix logo on my gear. I've known Gary Klaus since he started the company, and what he, Teresa Johnson, and the rest of the team at Phoenix Boats have created is truly remarkable. The highest quality boats, built by anglers, for anglers. This isn't just a saying, it's a passion at Phoenix. View the entire lineup at phoenixboats.com and get started on yours today. Take it from me, it's time to experience the Phoenix difference.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495, 800-788-1495, 800-788-1495, that's 800-788-1495.
Time now for the last cast brought to you by Omnia Fishing. You know, with Omnia Pro, you can look at each lake's unique structure and the current water and weather conditions to see what kind of approach makes the most sense. Omnia Pro members can see current conditions, including water temp, grass levels, and other conditions on thousands of lakes throughout the country on the Omnia Fishing mobile app. How would you like to have the ability to sort your waypoints by lake or date and record additional content such as current weather, water temp, or clarity? Omnia's new waypoint management tools allow you to do all of this and more. Pro membership is only $49 for the entire year and includes unlimited access to map layers from your phone, plus free shipping on all orders and 10% credit back on purchases. So you get loyalty credits even on sale items. And get this, if you go to omniafishing.com/bass, you save 20% on a membership today just for listening to Bassmaster Radio. So you save $10 on that $49 Omnia Pro membership simply by going to omniafishing.com/bass. Get an Omnia membership today for just $39. Now, the 2025 Bassmaster Radio Phoenix 919 ZXL has been wrapped beautifully by Action Graphics in Tullahoma, Tennessee. Chris Smith and his team did a tremendous job with the design and the application of the boat wrap, and even did a little something for my Ford F-150 tow vehicle. Now, as for the boat, I couldn't be happier with the platform, speed, and comfort that this new Phoenix model provides. And the storage options are endless. It's rigged with four Garmin units, including one live scope transducer and power pole blades, shallow water anchors. Look for it on the water near you. Not fishing this week on his home waters is the ultimate local at Okeechobee, Scott Martin, who is DQ'd for the no information rule. Scott issued the following statement. Quote, unintentionally and inadvertently, I received information that violated the no information rule. I was rigging my boat at the marina and was engaged in a conversation with an angler and simply did not shut it down quickly enough. So until next time, keep those lines tight and nets heavy. I'm Tom Abraham, and this has been Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio and the Bassmaster Radio Network.
Thank you for listening to Phoenix Boats Bassmaster Radio on Sports Byline USA and the Bassmaster Radio Network.
You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.